Before we get to the show, I wanted to say thank you for supporting, downloading, and streaming The Church In Fix. I know that when I originally kicked off this podcast, I did not think that anyone was going to listen to it at all.
I've listened to every episode you've put out.
So one of the biggest things that I think is a disconnect between, I can't speak for my generation, but for me, and any elder, is the belief that prayer works.
You know, while I've done a lot of bad things in my life, you know, God, if you're real, you know, I pray that you forgive me.
Welcome back to another episode of The Church In Fix. I'm really excited about some of the recent feedback we're getting. And we all know that we are in a time of a global pandemic, but what's really awesome is the way that the church is coming together. We're coming together through communications. We're coming together as an online church. You've probably heard that term overused just multiple times recently, but there's something to grow. We've seen different pastors from neighboring cities come together to share ideas and thoughts. And today, as you listen to this podcast or this weekend or whenever it is, it might be Sunday afternoon after you've finished your dinner, you have the opportunity to hear from two great leaders. I'm going to let both of them just take a little bit of time to introduce themselves and what they're working on and what they're involved in today. And then we are going to talk about this subject of what it looks like for the church to go back to church in the sense of corporate worship in our church buildings.
Youth pastor for Pastor Mark Kurtz. Our goal right now, what we're involved in, is obviously student ministry, but then beyond that, whatever pastor needs, trying to be that support for our church, as well as him trying to be that, whatever I can do, whether it's, you know, helping in social media, whether it's coordinating visits, you know, whatever it is that I can try to bring to the table, writing up, you know, standard operating procedure policies, just everything that we can do to be a support. That's what we're doing now. And that's our goal. So, Dustin Damesworth, you can tell them about yourself.
So I'm Dustin Damesworth. I'm the student pastor in Camden, Tennessee. So we're actually 20 minutes apart, so really close neighboring cities. For some people, that's the same city, but we are two different cities. And so my role at the church, obviously, is student ministry, but on top of that, I take care of all of our social media. And as of about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I became full-time live stream everything to get church online. And so that's kind of my, I don't want to say main role. My students are still important, still doing things for them. But right now, mainly focusing on getting a successful online church as much as that can be. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, just helping out our pastor any way that we can.
You know, I hear you say the cities are seen as one city. I think people, you know, I'm in DFW, and I think people see that area the same as well. I live in North Dallas, but, you know, if I say North Dallas, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. So,
well, it means a little bit. I spent 5 years in Texas at seminary, so my best friend Jonathan is from Alvarado. The church culture is relatively the same. You have a real sense of in Tennessee. You have a real sense of camaraderie. You have a real sense of unity, and Dustin can attest to this here where we are in our section, which is kind of the way they term things in our organization. In our section, our area of churches, we've seen an even greater push for unity and togetherness and camaraderie among the local churches. That's something my pastor has really been on board with, and several pastors have been really advocating for, is unity and togetherness and camaraderie. So, you know, on the state level, as well as all the way down to the section level, that's been something that's really stuck out to me. Not saying that there's no unity or camaraderie in Texas by any means, just having been here and been closer with boots on the ground in Tennessee, it's been really rewarding and exciting to see that.
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, me and Tyus have talked a lot about here in Tennessee. We are 20 minutes apart, but in some ways that overlaps, right? There's probably people that drive past Titus's church to come to our church, and there's people that drive past our church to go to church there in Paris. And so it's crazy that, you know, humans do things like that for whatever reason, but it's really cool that, that we can still have that unity being this close and still work together. And at the end of the day, it's about people and helping people and showing people the love of God, however that looks. And one of the things that I've really been trying to push is, you know, seeing that unity spread, not just inside of one organization, but working with, I was on a phone call last night with a neighboring church here in town about how they were doing some of their online stuff and some of their, they're doing a drive-in type service. And so I was kind of getting some feedback from them. And so just trying to, you know, work together with whoever it is, whether it's in the same city or neighboring city, same organization or different, you know, I think there's a lot that people have to offer.
Yeah, you know, it's we have, especially in a metroplex as large as ours, we have so many people that come and they visit our church, and I'll tell them so many times, I'm like, you know, I know you have a lot of places to go, so don't ask me my opinion because I'm very partial to my church. However, there are a lot of good churches out here, and we had a there was a couple, I don't know if it was about 2 years ago, there's a pastor that we both know, or all three of us know. Josh Youngblood. And I believe that the couple ended up going to his church and they knew him, but I remember telling them, I said, just if you guys find another church that you feel more comfortable, that's great. And we're all still the body of Christ. We know that you're new to this DFW area and we're more than happy to get together. We can still do barbecues outside, you know, we can invite your pastor over because we need unity, we need fellowship, and that church just coming together, we need to practice that. And I feel that under the current situation that we are seeing today, that we are going to emerge from the pandemic and you're going to see more and more people, more and more churches, and more ministers come together in those aspects.
I think there's a lot more value being added to that during this time. I think, you know, people are sitting back. They're not able to join together with the body of Christ like they had been able to leisurely in the past. And they're seeing how much value is in that. And I think you're right. People are going to prioritize going to have a, you know, a cookout at somebody's house over maybe just hanging out by themselves with their family, you know, and I think you're right. At the end of all of this, when we look back, we're going to see a more unified body of Christ for sure.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the fact that you guys are so close together as far as your cities and you are working together. I know that one of the reasons why I wanted to have this podcast with you is because you are working on a challenge right now and you're addressing that challenge differently because you both have churches of different sizes. So right now, if you are listening to this podcast, it is no surprise to you that most churches have been having online services. And with the online services, the church has been adjusting to that. Church leadership has been adjusting to that because I think that it's worth saying that it has been a challenge for church leadership to understand the dynamic of online worship services. And we could spend a lot of time talking about that if we wanted to even. But right now, it seems like the different states, depending on the governors, are getting ready to, I don't want to misspeak and use the word relax the stay-at-home orders, but they're getting ready to allow different businesses, different churches.
They're gonna adjust them. They're getting ready to adjust their orders. Maybe that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, they're getting ready to adjust it. So with that, you have to plan for churches to be able to come back together, and you've got to do the right things. We got to do the right things to make sure that people are safe. So you have, and I can't remember whose church is whose, but one church is running you know, a congregation in the hundreds, and one is closer to that 100 mark or maybe a little less. And so, and you have a building size that you have to offset as well. So I'm going to take a step back, and I want the two of you to just talk to us, talk to our listening audience about what you're seeing and how you're addressing this situation, and maybe even some of the conversations that you're having together and neighboring pastors are having with how do you address this. And I believe that our audience needs to hear this because people are trying to address this challenge themselves in their local communities.
Sure. So I'll take a stab first. So, you know, kind of give you a little background of where we're at. We are a congregation of a Sunday morning congregation of about 225. You know, maybe that's up a little bit on Easter, or maybe it's down a little bit on another holiday, but around that 225 mark. And so our building is made to set about 225. And so that's not bad on Sunday morning because you've got kids at Sunday school, you've got, you know, kids in different places, things happening in different areas. But if everybody was to come back in our main sanctuary, we're putting out chairs. That's just kind of where we're at right now. And so coming back to this, I tell you, as a leader, one of the biggest things that keeps me praying and trying to, you know, to figure out the right way to do this is in a few weeks, there's going to be some smaller churches in our area that are going to be able to open up safely and okay. And I worry for our people that see that and they're like, well, why are we not making the same step? Well, there's a different dynamic that, you know, Titus is about to go into of how they will be able to much quicker than we will on the whole comeback. And so I worry about our people, just kind of some of that stuff that we're trying to work through with them. But so long-term plan, you know, I think realistically, we're going to be able to come back in a few weeks with some of those people that haven't been able to get to our online service for whatever reason. Maybe they don't have internet at home. Maybe they, you know, maybe they don't have the ability to watch online service. And so, you know, as soon as we can get up to a safe place to have those people come back, I think they're obviously the first people that should be able to come back and be a part of the service. But before we're fully back is a ways away just because of how tight and packed we are in our building. So me and Titus have kind of had conversations about this. Their plan's obviously drastically different than ours just because of kind of the dynamic there. So I'll throw it to Titus to.
Yeah, for sure. And as a qualifier, just for, I guess I didn't qualify in the beginning. We didn't, but, for anyone that's listening, Dustin and I aren't long-term best friends. I know it kind of sounds like they live 20 minutes apart. Well, it's easy for them to work together. Dustin and I really became friends about 2 years ago. So that's been a cool dynamic in and of itself to have a friendship and a relationship that's mutual, you know, and beneficial and learning and helping and growing. But so our dynamic in Paris is a little different. It's kind of an odd situation. But basically we have a congregation of between 50 to 65 or so. If everyone's there, we're usually pretty consistent around 40 to 50. Our facilities, however, we can house 225 in our sanctuary alone. So with that being said, automatically we have this conundrum of space. Like, we just have so much room we have such a small number in ratio to that of congregants that we have options. So what we're thinking, what Pastor and I've been talking is we want to get back into the building as soon as we can safely, right? Like, obviously safety is a number one concern. And so what we're planning to do is we're going to watch and wait for our governor's adjustments. We're supposed to receive our adjustments in the next week or so. So depending on when this aired, we may have already received our adjusted recommendations and orders, but we're going to look at his guidelines and see what he says and see what he kind of recommends and goes from there. But what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to get people in the building, and because of the space and because of the the room that we have in relation to the number of congregants that we have, we're going to kind of be a little more lenient because we don't, you know, we don't really feel it's going to be necessary for us. I mean, we could snatch out every other pew, we could mark off space, but we feel like that people will kind of naturally do this. And so we're thinking we're going to post some minor guidelines here and there. We're going to have operating procedure, obviously, it's going to be available. And we're just, when we can safely, we're going to just advertise to people, to our home folks, and say, look, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're operating. We recommend that you follow the guidelines. Here's where you can see guidelines if you've been, if you don't have access to know what the guidelines are. And then you just kind of make your own call. The doors will be open. But we can only do that, obviously, because our situation allows. But that's how we're approaching it. I think we all ultimately want to get back in the building. I think every church member has that desire. And it's just going to be a matter of how this church can do it versus how this church can do it safely and compliant with the recommendations. I think the biggest thing for me, and we talked about this, Dustin and I did over the past couple of days, is making sure that within the body, and he kind of addressed it, you know, people realize that just because my church is doing it different than his church, it doesn't make his church better or my church worse. We have to make sure that we maintain a unity, and we all just realize that we're trying to navigate this thing. We've all got different resources. We've all got different options. But ultimately, like we've been saying, we're all of the body, and we want to come out of this thing stronger. And I think we're going to. I think things are going to be better on the backside of this when we kind of look at the unknown, right, through a lens overall at 10,000 foot and then at our situation at 500 foot. And I think when the church as a whole looks at it and realizes, okay, well, they did it different coming out of the pandemic than we did, but there's nothing wrong with either one of us and we're both okay, you know, or maybe this didn't work in this area and this did work in this area, but ultimately the same goal was achieved. I think the whole fear of the unknown may even shift a little bit in people's mindset and thinking, especially within church leadership. I think maybe people won't be as scared of the unknown as they used to be after they see that you can tackle the unknown differently and still have success.
Yeah, that's a great point. Hearing you talk about this, I don't know why this just came to my mind, but what are the two of you guys doing in regards to, or, and I'm sure you've already thought about this, but naturally you have small children that are going to be coming to the churches, and what do you do to make sure that they are maintaining some kind of social distancing guidelines as well? And the only reason why I bring this up is I know that we did a drive-in birthday party for some friends not too long ago, and we had a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, and we literally were having to almost hold them totally apart to make sure that they didn't run towards each other like wildfire. And, so when it comes to children's ministry in general or things like that, what are some things you are doing to make sure that we're still able to maintain social distancing while we continue through this process?
For us, our children's ministry is down a little bit from where it was 5 years ago, but still is a large number. And you're right. We did a chalk our church the other day where people came up and did some chalk art on a parking spot. And we asked people to don't pick a parking spot beside each other, go find somewhere else in the parking lot, come at different times. And that kind of worked out. But the same thing was true, you know, when you get two young kids there that have been in Sunday school together their whole life, that natural pull magnet to each other to come together starts happening. It is difficult. And I think you're right. We've got to think about that going back in. My honest answer, the recommendation that I would put forth to with our leadership is I don't think Sunday school is really possible until we get back to some sense of normality. And that makes it difficult because parents haven't been in church. They're dying to get back in church, and they want somebody to – I'm not saying they won't push their kids off, but they would like somebody to take care of their kids so they can get the full thing out of the service. And I just don't think that's realistically a good idea, at least for a short time, at least for a bit. Or you have to take the, you know, you have to take the thing of we're not going to, you know, if the kids ain't going to social distance, it doesn't matter if the parents do or not, because when they get home, they're getting what though every other family in that Sunday school class had. And so that's kind of our approach. I think we have to wait on going back to children's ministry, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with Dustin. I briefly brought it up to Pastor. We were had some time together yesterday before we recorded this today. And so we were talking, and I asked him, I said, you know, how do you think we're going to do this? Are we going to just hold off on Sunday school, both youth department as well as children's department? Are we just going to do one corporate service for the time being? And his response was, you know, I don't know yet. We got to wait and see. I got to figure this out. You know, we're just kind of in a limbo moment. But I think, me personally, you know, I think people are going to be, you know, it's in general, right? People are going to have to earn, we're going to have to earn the trust, right? Like your church will have to earn the trust of your congregants as well as the trust of your community in order for people to come back. And if you're out there advertising that, you know, you've got, everybody knows you've got 100 children, 100 head count children department, and you're, word gets out that you had Sunday school the very first Sunday that you could, you didn't really follow any recommendations. You didn't really, you're going to lose people's trust. And so I think in just in the spirit of earning that trust, we're just going to have to hold off for a little while for people to feel comfortable coming back. And as unfortunate as that is, just with the nature of small children, you know, I've got a 4-year-old that, man, he wakes up in the morning and he's ready to go at 6:30, and he doesn't stop until 8:30 at night, and it's just nonstop all day, 24/7. And trying to get him to not go run up and hug people and hug his friends and shake everybody's hand—that's just a—that's a challenge in and of itself. He's not an adult, and he can't have that will power yet to not control that instinct. And so I certainly don't think that, you know, we can expect, you know, 6, 7, and 8 year olds either to have the same restraint that we have as 25, 30, and 40 year old adults to not be able to shake hands and contain those feelings. So I'm kind of in the same boat, just having to wait and see. But I don't think, me personally, I don't think we'll just jump right back into it with both feet just yet.
So I'll kind of go to another topic around that whole coming back thing that we've kind of discussed, is with a church of our size to come back at any kind of, maybe, you know, one group in one service, one group in another service, even then, you know, it's still going to be pretty full. And so we've discussed, you know, does it make sense to wear a face mask when we start coming back for a while? And the topic got brought up, how do you keep face mask on, you know, young children? How do you keep them from taking them off all the time? And so that's kind of another thing of, you know, you can't even do that. And so, our daughter, we made her one, early on in this, even though she hasn't been anywhere, but, you know, she's seen mom and dad had one, so she wanted one. And she wore it the other day while we was mowing the yard to keep the pollen and stuff from getting to her. And it was a headache just trying to keep her from pulling it down and taking it off the whole time we're going around the little front yard for 5 minutes, you know. So I think realistically, this whole going back thing is going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge for leadership. It's going to be a challenge for, you know, the church members and people just coming in. The other thing that you got to take into account, we've got people watching online services that may have never been to our church before. And now, you know, maybe they're going to show up. And how do you show them love and that you want them there and that you care about them, but we need you to put on a mask, sanitize your hands, and don't touch anybody? You know, I mean, that kind of seems a little unfriendly to the things that we are typically used to doing. So I think there's a lot of challenges there, and that kind of stirred from your child question, but I think there's going to be a ton of challenges going back.
Well, I think it's applicable because, I mean, it's all circular in the sense that these are all things that are on all of our minds. And every time you think about one thing, it's like, well, how does this impact this other thing? And it's just, it's continual. And, you know, I've had, I can't remember who it was recently that said this. Or yes, I can. It was Jason. He made a statement that, you know, the entire world or your community is watching the way that you handle basically going back to services. So this is the perfect time. Now I'm shifting with my interpretation of what he was saying, but this is the perfect time for us as believers to make sure that we do have proper policies and procedures in place as we make that transition. And I think that for the most part, from what I've seen and at least the leaders that I'm talking with, everybody is really trying to do the right thing and trying to do that correctly. And there is a hunger to go back to corporate worship. And I think that we all feel that. We all understand that. But I think that we all are still looking at trying to answer that question the right way.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Titus. I think you were going to say something.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't want to like speak over you or anything, but I think there's so much truth to what you're saying. And I think what makes this situation so hard is the fact that we're facing this pandemic, and you've got such polarizing opinions, and we as church leadership and pastors, they have to figure out a way to validate everyone's feelings diplomatically on the total different ends of the spectrum. Like, you got to find that perfect balance of not feeding into irrational fear, but at the same time validating legitimate concerns, all the while quelling the passionate opinions of the ones who say, what are we even doing? Let's just all get back together. Nothing nilly-willy needs to be even created, you know? So it's definitely a difficult, difficult time, and it's a challenge. And I don't think anyone has ever seen this kind of challenge in the church landscape, you know, the national landscape, however you want to qualify it. I don't think we've ever seen this before, and it's going to be difficult, to say the least, for pastors to try to make this decision. How do I connect and reach my world at the same time connecting and reaching my people? Like, how do I quell all of the emotions and feelings on this whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of just opened up the perfect segue for another thing that has really just been on my mind and something I wanted to talk about today with this. And that is, let's take a look at our senior pastors. They are going through a lot with this and trying to serve the needs of the church, trying to make sure people have what they need. Things as simple, we say as simple, but as toilet paper. Do you have toilet paper? Do you, you know, have food? People are losing jobs. There's income changes that are taking place. There is a lot on our senior pastors right now. And I think that not only do we need to make sure that we are lifting them up in prayer, we need to be really focused on making sure that we check in on them too. They're always checking in on everybody else, but we need to, you know, how are they doing? And with that being said, how are you helping your senior pastors at your local churches? Because I'll tell you this, I think that, you know, one of the things that personally in my life that I pray for is I'm like, God, help me understand the vision of our senior pastor and help me promote that vision. And in this case, I would say, God, help me understand what our senior pastor is going through and help me understand how to pray to help him and encourage him and lift him up in this.
Yeah, so I'll go back, you know, to the beginning of this. I'm a very, I don't want to say I'm a very creative person, but I have a lot, I have a ton of ideas, you know, of things that I think we could do or how we could do it. And when, you know, I don't even know, I can't even remember that far back because so much stuff has transpired. Like, but that moment I knew that we were having to shift to online services. Maybe it was our governor's decree or the press, whatever that was. But when I realized we were shifting to online services, I gave it a few minutes, immediately called my pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm 100% here for whatever you need." And kind of my pastor's personality is, if it's something that he can do, he's not going to ask somebody to do. He's not going to ask somebody to take out the trash because it's just taking a bag out and taking it to the dumpster. And so, you know, I've had to reassure him that our leadership team, the people that's around him, we're here committed to this same process that he's trying to drive towards. And so, you know, something for me is, like, I see all of these online services, people doing things different ways. But I know the heart of my pastor, like you said, the vision of what he wants to do and how he wants to do things. And I've seen some of these creative guys take their pastors to places that they didn't want to do it that way, but they were bound by the fact that they couldn't do online church without this person. And so they're trying to appease. And I went to my pastor the first time. I said, "I'm going to bring you ideas. I'm going to bring you things that I think we can do, but you shut me down if that's not the way you want to go, or you don't feel that's the direction that we need to go." And one thing that, you know, I really was trying to get him to do was to do a more laid back Wednesday night where we wasn't in the church in the pulpit, but from maybe his, you know, the bar table at his house or from, you know, his office or something. And talked to him about that a couple of times, and he come to me and he said, you know what you told me in the beginning? He said, I'm not comfortable there. I don't think I can do my best there, and I want to be where I can do my best. And so, you know, that's been my biggest thing, is trying to rein in my creativity and ideas under what his vision is. And that comes back to, so we're going to do a parking lot service this weekend. And, you know, I know there's a lot of different ideas of whether that's a good idea or not. And even amongst our leaders, we've kind of went the back and forth. And that's something that we're going forward from. But when that decision was kind of being made, I called my pastor and I said, "Pastor, are you wanting to do this? Is this you? Or are you trying to, you know, fill this, that ideas that people have?" And, you know, he said, I feel like this would be good for those people that want to have some sort sense of togetherness. And so I said, "Cool, I'm shifting my focus from doing online and for that weekend, and I'm pushing 100% towards parking lot." And so for me, that's a whole lot different, because now my focus is on trying to organize and plan and get pieces where they move smoothly and safely. Instead of, I was kind of in that cadence of online service was kind of starting to be easy, you know? And so I think the biggest thing, and I know this is kind of a long answer to that, but I think the biggest thing is, like you said, check in on your pastor, confirm and reconfirm and reconfirm that the direction you're going with something is the direction that he still fit. Because we all know this has shifted week to week. And so parking lot service come up the first weekend, and pastors without hesitation answer was, "We're not doing that." And that's kind of shifted as things have changed, and, you know, this has went longer and longer and longer. And so, you know, I obviously praying for my pastor every day and praying for, you know, all of our leadership in our church. But ultimately just that phone call and check in. And, you know, for me, I know how busy he is. So I kind of deal with that of, well, I don't want to bother him by calling and continuing to ask him. But I feel like, and kind of some of the feedback I've got from him, he appreciates that. He needs that to keep us all flowing and going the same direction, because we're not having, you know, that weekend or week midweek interaction to kind of keep things flowing. So it has to go through conversation.
Yeah. So what you just reminded me of is, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I guess it was, I was serving in South Texas District, and I was on the children's committee, or I guess you would probably know it where you're at, as the Sunday school committee. And so we did the kids camps, we did all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I had to realize early on is I might have had ideas that I thought were really good ideas that I really liked. And when I took them to the committee, everybody wasn't going to like those ideas. And those might not have even flowed with what our district wanted. So what I had to do is I had to take a step back and understand what the district's goals were, and then understand what our entire committee felt. And then I started trying to say, okay, creativity in itself is not a bad thing, but it's understanding where I can use it correctly in this process all around. And I think that right now, going back to what you were saying, is that's where it's at, is we have churches that are full with people that have creativity. We're being challenged. Pastors are being challenged to step outside of comfort zones. And so bring them those ideas, but at the same time, don't make them uncomfortable, you know, and don't make them think that if they don't take your idea, that you're going to be upset or mad at them or something of that sort. So I like your approach, and I like what you're talking about, because at the end of the day, it's submitting to the vision of that church.
Yeah. And we mentioned that on our podcast the other night. You know, I think you're right. People have a lot more free time, whether, you know, in whatever aspect, and those ideas are flowing. And, you know, something I suggested is write that out. This is something that Titus does at his church that I really think is a really cool thing. Before he goes to his pastor with an idea, he has a standard operating procedure for how that's going to look, you know, a general consensus of how this should function and how this should work and I'll let him kind of speak to that a little bit if he wants to, but he takes that to his pastor and hands it to him and says, hey, this is something I think would be good for us to do. This is how I think it should work. You make the decision if we go forward or who goes forward with this. And that's something that I encourage all the creative minds. Don't let your ideas just die and go away. You know, said earlier, I was talking to another church here in town, and they've been doing parking lot services the whole time. They're a smaller congregation, different dynamic, and they're going to keep parking lot services, a couple of times throughout the summer and do that because they like the way and the dynamic it went. And so your idea that your pastor may not go with during this pandemic and during everything going on, maybe an idea that he wants to pursue after this. And so take those, but like you said, Brandon, take it with knowing it may go nowhere and it may be the biggest thing that happens in your church. Don't, but it doesn't matter either way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things at our church is right now, our creative team is working harder than they ever have before. And I know I've shared some videos with you guys of different things that we've done at our church. And I'm not a part of the creative team. I have nothing to do with what our creative team does. But I have such a, just gratitude flows from my heart when I see what they've done and the quality that they have produced. And, you know, we shared recently with a group of guys that we're all friends with, that even through all of this, you know, there have been people that have reached out to the church for Bible studies. There have been people that reached out to the church to be baptized. So the gospel is still going forward. God's word is still, I guess what I'm trying to say is the work of the church has not stopped. The pandemic is going on, but the work of the church, and possibly it's been more work going on at the church than ever before.
Sure.
Throughout this pandemic, none of that has stopped. And it's neat to see, but at the same time, I think it's revealed some of the flaws that we've held on to in the past where we've gotten comfortable. And so we are being pushed outside of our comfort zones, and it's challenging, but it's rewarding at the same time. I know the other day, I had the opportunity, to take some food to a lady in our church, and to see her and to see just the look on her face. And I stood outside the door for a while and we just talked, and we did not talk about the food. We did not talk about the church building itself. What we talked about was how much she loved the people of God, the people of God, the church. And she could not wait to be able to come together and embrace and hug and just have that opportunity to be together. And I thought about that when, you know, we talk about the body of Christ, where the arms, the legs, the feet, and people that know me know that I've probably preached more about that than anything else. They probably get tired of hearing it, but it's almost as spot on as if you really want to preach about it as we would preach about like the doctrine of justification. You know, I mean, it's just it's so important to understand that we, the church body, we're family, we're together, we're in this together. And I think as ministers, the reason why I said all that is to say this, I think as ministers, sometimes we get caught up in doing our own work, working in our own churches, that we forget about other ministers, not intentionally, but I think right now the ministers have begun to realize how important it is to embrace that concept that we are the body of Christ. We are in this together. And I think we're appreciating each other more than we possibly have in the past.
Yeah, I think that's, I think you're right on point, Brandon, and kind of trying to bring your question back into the conversation now, like overall, right? Like, you know, like Dustin was saying, praying for my pastor, but what I'm doing on a personal level is making sure, and there's so much there to unpack. You talked about flaws, right, that are being exposed. I think a big flaw that I even had, and I'll just be transparent for a moment, my pastor has really in the past 2 years helped me see some things about myself. And one of the biggest flaws that I had, and I think it was kind of passed down systemically just from church culture, was insecurity. Right. And I never realized that until he and I just started working through it and talking about it. So in saying that, my pastor has really empowered me in the past couple of years to just go for it. Don't be insecure about it. And I think that plays right into the conversation when it comes to having ideas and having creative thoughts. Right. Like now that I've worked through some of my insecurities, and I'm going to work on them till the day I die, it is what it is. But I've adopted, and you can ask Dustin, I've adopted a fire hydrant mentality. I literally will just throw it out there, and what sticks, sticks. What doesn't, doesn't. And I'm okay with that. Like, I do not care. When it comes to my pastor, he's a leader of leaders. He's a manager of managers. He's, you know, that's his background. And so, for the most part, the day-to-day operations, he's got them on lock. Like, he's got that taken care of. He's good to go, although I don't see how he's Superman, and I don't say that flippantly like he really is sometimes. But in knowing that about him, for me, it's been weekly, almost daily for the most part. Just he's a texter, so I'm just like, hey, you know, here's this. Whenever our governor came out with his guidelines and suggestions for businesses, I immediately just went on my own, created a flyer, kind of an SOP roundabout we could post if he wanted to post it everywhere. I said, hey, here it is. Here's the text. If you want to get somebody to throw graphic behind it, great. If you want to take it and tweak it, I don't care. If you want to throw it away, I don't care. Right. But that's just kind of who I am and how I've learned to operate under him. And it's been cool because through this, without even me knowing it, you know, he told me the other day that's been a real encouragement for him. And he told me, he said, I really appreciate you throwing the idea out there and just taking the lead and heading up. We did a pastor drive-by visit. So He drove to everyone's homes, and I just kind of followed suit with my family, drove by, hung the signs out. And he just told me, he said, thanks for helping me to be encouraged and have the motivation to do it, because I was bogged down on other things. But I think if we can all adopt that mentality going through this of, hey, here I am, how can I help? Let me stick it out there. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, I don't care. I'll just move on to the next idea. because ultimately that's unity, right? Like that's the body of Christ being the body of Christ, and the hand has to understand. It may not be able to help the heart, but it'll pick up better food, which will help the heart. You know, I mean, you just got to learn to work through all that. And so that's what I've been doing for him. And going back, I think this has exposed a lot of flaws, but I think this pandemic is going to push people out of those comfort zones and get rid of some of those insecurities so we can advance and move forward. Because ultimately, when we see the good things that come out of this that are, I believe, by and large, going to far outweigh the bad, it's going to be a motivation for us, and it's going to be an encouragement for us to keep moving in that direction.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's some good points. And it's funny, you say fire hydrant, throw everything out there and just let it stick. It's funny because in my background, you always hear this, you know, you have to have the plan. You can't just throw everything out, you know, but in the point of ministry, I think you're spot on with that, because we tend to think that we're going to have like this one idea or this one thing that's going to be that perfect thing. So what we do is we fail to act while we wait to come up with that. And yeah, all the while we're doing that in our ministry work, because we're trying to approach it like a business instead of approaching it as a spirit-led ministry, we fail. And it's not that we intended to, it's just because we weren't out there doing. And I think about some of the things, like one of the evangelists that we're all very familiar with, Lee Stone King. One of the things that people have looked at him before and they have a hard time with is he said, just go do it, just go do it. And everybody's like, what do you mean, just go do it? And he's like, go pray for people, you know, go teach Bible studies, go do this. And I think when you said that, that's what it reminds me of. It's just like everywhere I go, you know, come in contact, just do the work, just do it. And just trust God is going to bless it. And move on and get out of this mentality that it's about me. I told someone the other day, I was on the phone, and this reminds me of this as well, but we were on the phone and they were talking about, you know, we spend so much time trying to pray and travail for certain individuals at different points in time instead of just walking up, praying a prayer, and moving on. And are we really building faith? Or are we building doubt in those standpoints? And that's where we either are going to press forward, and I've said this over and over like a broken record, probably even on this podcast, but do we really believe everything that we've said that we believed all these years, or do we not? And now's the time to act on it. So if you believe it, go out, hang the signs, promote your pastor, his vision for that church, for that city, pray for them. If there's people in your church that need something, make sure they have it. I mean, even things, you know, the weather's changing, so people's yards are going to need cut. What about your elderly people? That put together a ministry where you have the young men in your church go out and cut their yards for them, so they don't have to go outside, so they don't have to risk exposure. Put together a team of young people that can do shopping that keeps our elderly people out of the stores and deliver that food to the elderly people. This is the time that we can come together and think of ideas to serve the community, because that's really what our Christianity is about. It's serving others and putting others first.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't remember exactly what you said just a second ago, but it made me think back to something Andrew had said in the podcast you did with him. He talked about, you know, a lot of times we want to hang on the prayers of other people, but now's the time that we have to have our own prayer life, and we have to have our own study. And you know, online church is great. Like, I'm thankful for that. And like you said earlier, the gospel is getting out there. But at the end of the day, I believe this is exposing areas in our life that we need to pray more, and we need to have more family devotion, and we need to have more time that's spent just personal time with God that's not seen, you know. And I'm not saying this is about everybody. I'm not even saying this is most people. But sometimes I think we can get caught up in our relationship with God is only a visible thing. But Andrew mentioned it in that podcast you did with him. it's a our relationship with God has to start as a private matter. And if it shows up in a visible and a public way, that's great, but it's got to start as an intimate relationship between you and God as a private matter. And that's something that's kind of really I've tried to grasp onto is, hey, you know, we're home a lot more. There's more time than we typically have because I'm a real big go and do type guy. And so, you know, let's take this free time and spend actually developing our relationship with God personally more and reaching out and praying for people, reaching out and helping people and just do it, you know?
Yeah, that's I couldn't agree more. Matter of fact, a recent example, you know, it's kind of weird. The, you know, the guidelines and the social distancing and everything has created distance between people. But I think in that it's created a greater desire than maybe we've had in the past 10 or 15 years with the advent of social media and technology, internet, and all this kind of stuff just getting faster and faster and faster and faster. I think it's created a desire within people for connection. And this is an incredible time. I was walking, going to get the mail at our apartment complex. And I was walking to the mailbox, and there was a lady that was coming the other way from me. And we made sure we kept our distance. But she said, hi. And I'm a friendly guy. I'm a talker. I'm an outgoing person. So, woo, here I go. Hi, you know. We just started talking. And one thing led to another. And she was telling me that her elective surgery, which is a deemed non-essential in Tennessee right now, it had to be canceled, but she was in pain. And so I just kept my distance, but I said, you know, I said, I'm a minister. I said, I could pray for you right now if you'd like. And she said, would you do that? That would be great. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So we kept our distance and we just right there on the sidewalk, we just took a moment and I prayed and I didn't, you know, just like, I didn't go crazy screaming and hollering and calling down fire from heaven, but I just prayed a prayer. And I told her where I went to church, and it created this opportunity just within an organic moment for me to step out there and just actively be involved in ministry. And not to say that, you know, praying is all there is to ministry, right? But this time is creating opportunities. If we will just look for them and we will just see them and seize them, they're incredible opportunities that are out there, no different than when we're not in a pandemic, except for maybe there's more opportunities because people are desiring the connection and they're desiring to be with people and they're desiring something more than just what the TV and the screen can shove to them. And so I couldn't agree more that now is the time more than ever to be prayed up and geared up in your relationship with God so you can help someone else come into a relationship with God. Because I think now more than ever, we have opportunities to do so. And it would be a shame for us as the church if we were not as prepared as we needed to be to seize those opportunities and to help make a difference in someone's life and ultimately helping them come to faith in Christ. So,
absolutely. You know, and I think about the word ministry. Usually when we hear the word ministry, we tend to, in our minds, say, you know, effective ministry is somebody at a church building praying or seeking God or, you know, something a roundabout way connected to that. But true ministry is meeting the need that someone has. It's right. Serving someone.
Right.
And she hates for me to talk about what she does, but one of the things that my wife has been doing is she has been making meals, you know, bigger meals than she normally does. And she finds people that she feels like she wants to serve. And she makes sure to take extra and give to different people. And get these texts and they're, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. My point is it's not about, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about that. It's, I see a need. I want to meet your need. I want you to know that I care and I'm here. That is ministry. And I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, you are one of the most effective ministers that I've ever met. And I had no idea that you had these qualities when we first met, you know, 21 years ago. But she does that. And my point is this, is I think that the church needs to reevaluate the way that we look at ministry. We hear preachers say everyone's a minister, but what does that mean? Yeah. Really what that means is we need opportunities to serve people.
And I hate to go, I love my pastor, but going back to my pastor, I think that he kind of helped set the stage for what was coming without knowing it, because his big push for the past 6, 8, 10 months has been, you know, a couple key phrases: everyone a minister, there's no such thing as a lazy Christian, let's take it out there. And he's just emphatically driven those points home, service after service after service, you know, and he's pushed people. He's encouraged and challenged our people. Maybe I shouldn't say push, but he's been like, look, you are a minister. You are the body of Christ. This isn't all me. And he's really, really pushed the vision that he's had of us, everyone. You know, he's said it several times. I can't wait for someone to call me and say, hey, pastor, can you open the door? I got someone here who needs to be baptized, right? Like, because they've come to faith in Christ. Those kind of things are what we've been pushing for. And I think now that this pandemic has hit, it's been incredible to watch people within our private social Facebook page for our church talk about, you know, and share experiences. And I know that they're out there and they're making a difference and they're impacting people. And it's just exciting to watch all that happen and watch all that come together, and to know that my pastor was setting the stage for this. And now here we are, real time, boots on the ground. And it's an incredible time. And if I'm sure a lot of pastors, my pastor couldn't have been alone. I'm sure there were tons of pastors pushing this idea and pushing this, this thought process of everyone a minister, you be engaged, be empowered. And so now it's cool to watch it, you know, real time on the ground. And at the same time, you know, others are going to see it. And I'm just excited to see where the church is going to go coming out of this, realizing that we're not confined to just the building. Ministry is not confined to just what people would see you do publicly, but like we were talking about, develop that relationship privately. And if it comes public, great, but serving, seeing the need and just filling it. I'm excited.
Yeah. It sounds like I'd get along with your pastor really great, because it sounds like his soapbox, this year is mine.
Yeah.
I think that there was a lot of senior pastors who've been feeling that, you know, the tagline of our church is others first. And, you know, we joke a little bit. All of our mutual friend, I say his name a lot on the podcast, so I'll say it again, Chris Prince. When we ask him to do something, or if he asks us to do something, we'll look at him and grin and say, others first, you know.
That's funny.
But it really is, it's the lifestyle of the church. It's the lifestyle that we want to live, is how can we serve others? And I think the pandemic has really been eye-opening into how does the church serve others? How does the church serve? Where's the value of the church? It's not just to sing a song on a weekend. It's not just to come here a message. It's not just for people to say, I believe in God, but the church should be the manifestation of a true change that has taken place because somebody's life has been totally transformed by a relationship with the man called Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, you said it great. I think for so long we've looked for ways to serve on Sunday or on Wednesday. You know, how can I serve my pastor on a Sunday? What can be done around the church to serve and to be used? And I think this is, like you said, giving us a great opportunity to really look at other ways to serve, what serving really looks like you said about your wife, you know. It's just adding a little extra food to what we're cooking. It's just making a phone call. It's having a FaceTime with somebody. And I shared a post that I got from somebody else. It's not mine at all, but it said, we are not in the same boat. And that's kind of, you know, the phrase that everybody's been wanting to use, that we're all in the same boat. We're all in this together. But the fact is, we're all in the same storm, but we're all in different boats. And somebody's ship may be shipwrecked, and mine might be just fine. And so, you know, we're not ministering to people in the way that we last seen them. You know, because you may have seen them at church, what, 6 weeks ago, and everything was fine and dandy, but people have lost loved ones during this time, maybe not even to the COVID thing, but people have lost loved ones. They've went through financial hardships. They've had things that they've faced. And so they need to be ministered to now more than ever. And, you know, we may not know all of the situations. There may be people that lost their jobs that we don't know about, but just giving them a phone call and saying, hey, you were on my mind, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And we may never know. They may keep that private, that they lost their job, or they went through, you know, a financial crisis, or lost, you know, something happened in their life. But that phone call may be the thing that they needed in ministering to them. And I think, you know, ministry doesn't mean that we know every detail of every situation. It just means that we love others. We're trying to help others and be an encouragement to others. So I think, man, I think going back into church after all of this, and this kind of brings us back to where we were at the top of this podcast, but going back into church after all of this is going to look very different, because we learned that there's other ways for us to serve. And so is your wife going to cook extra every meal for the rest of all time? Maybe not, but there may be somebody laid on her heart on a Tuesday that she cooks a little extra for and takes to them. And I think this is going to be an opportunity for people to serve across the board, not just on Sunday and Wednesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that as leaders, as the church gears back up, as the church comes back together, the message that we have to continue with is to remind the people, because, you know, I've heard it said before, you get what you preach. If you preach love, you're going to get love. If you preach serving others, you're going to get serving others. And so we need to make sure that we continue down the path with that narrative, and we don't forget this, which it should, you know, we say that like it's a big surprise, but really that's the theme of the Bible, isn't it?
Right. Yep.
You know, so, well, guys, I think that we've got some good nuggets packed in this podcast, and I appreciate the time that everybody was able to set aside to put this together, because I know that this is, you know, we kind of covered two topics overlapping in this, and I think that both of them are unique to what we are facing right now today. And I also think that there's a lot of, you know, young men and young women who are doing their best to try to lead their churches and serve their churches. And we want them to be able to have tools, resources, anything that they can. Not that we have a big, you know, arsenal to help them, you know, from a tool belt standpoint, but if there is some nuggets that they can pull out of this, I feel like then it's a positive opportunity for them to spend an hour kind of listening to a podcast and kind of thinking about the way that they can serve their churches and their communities differently. And with that, is there anything you two have anything to add? Or
I just want to say thanks for having us on your podcast. Really have enjoyed it. But also, I want to open up, if, you know, if somebody wants to reach out to me on social media, I'm happy to talk over ideas. And, you know, it's something that me and Titus have done. And then, you know, Brandon, we've been in groups with other people where we've kind of had these conversations, and it's helpful. It may spark new ideas. So if you need somebody to just run over your idea by or get ideas from, I'm always open for those conversations. So happy to help anybody out.
Yeah. Same here. Just, it may not be the best idea in the world. You may not take it, but I will throw about 30 your way. I'm sure you give me about a day and I'll come up with about 30 different options and you can just run with whatever you want. And I don't care if you take all of them or none of them. I just want to help, just want to serve. And so, yeah, reach out to me as well if you need anything. Dustin, don't let him sell himself short. The guy's really good. So I would try him first. But if he doesn't answer, you just come right over here and I'll try to give you ideas too. But I think the main thing to just take away from all of this is be empowered, be encouraged. It's going to get better. And I think when we come out of this, it's going to be way better than we ever could have imagined. I think we've been stretched and pulled. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be exciting to see what God does ultimately through all of this.
Absolutely. And one of the things, if you were looking for these two guys, if you look in your podcast link, I'm going to have both of their names. And if there's a way for me to tag their Facebook, I'll try to. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at that. But if you do a search of their names in Facebook or on Instagram, social media of some sorts, I don't think you're going to have a problem finding them. Also, you can check out the Church In Fix Facebook page. You might be able to see them there as well. And with that, I would like to just say thank you again for taking some time out of your day and listening to the Church In Fix. If there's anything we can do to make your listening experience better, please feel free to reach out and let us know. And with that, that wraps up another episode of the Church In Fix.